Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the point of Thanksgiving? Why is it that we set aside one day every year to give thanks? I'm sure this sounds like a very fundamental kindergarten level question, but sometimes it's good to just go back to the basics and review those why questions. And our gospel reading this evening gives us a prime opportunity to reflect on what it means to give thanks as we explore the healing of these 10 lepers. Now, to give a little context, we need to talk some about leprosy. You see, leprosy in the time of Jesus and going back to the Old Testament, it wasn't really understood very well. In fact, it still wasn't understood very well up until relatively recent times, in fact. But in the time of Jesus and Bible times, it was considered to be or believed to be a communicable, transmittable disease that if you have leprosy and I shake your hand, I could get leprosy from it. Now, what we call leprosy today is not contagious. They actually use leprosy as sort of an umbrella category, a catch-all for all kinds of skin diseases at that time, from rashes to itches to, you could even read that it was liver spots could be looked at and suspected of being leprous. And so because of this, lepers were to live apart from the community in case their skin disease, their leprosy, was contagious, and to shout a warning to anyone who was approaching. So ultimately, for these lepers, there is no hope of cure if what they have is truly leprosy. Other skin diseases or maladies could go away, or they could be recognized as something that's non-contagious or not actually leprous eventually, but true leprosy, what's called Hansen's disease, it has no cure. And so you were going to have this for the rest of your life. And so this goes a long way to explain the actions of these 10 lepers who approached Jesus at the beginning of our gospel reading, who are standing at a distance and who lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We use a similar formula when we pray, "Lord, have mercy," although that comes from a different healing, although the word for "have mercy," eleison, is still the same. Standing at a distance crying, "Have mercy." Now, Jesus doesn't answer their prayer in our gospel reading right away. Instead, he doesn't heal them right away. Instead, he tells them to go and show yourselves to the priests. We might look at this as him bringing the lepers back into the fold of God's people, because under Old Testament law, it was the priests who were responsible for, quote, cleansing or declaring to be clean one who has leprosy. A leper would go to the priest, not because the priest can actually cure them, but because the priests were to examine them and to see whether what they have is leprosy and whether what it is has gone away or not. And so Jesus sends them to the lepers, or the lepers to the priests, so that the priests can look at this and determine that they have been cured and can bring them back into the fold of God's people. So for these lepers to be welcomed back into Jewish society, they needed to present themselves to the priests. There were requirements to confirm their healing, sacrifices, sprinkling with water, all of these things, which are necessary to bring them back into the people. And along the way, somewhere between where this happened on the edge between Samaria and Galilee, between there and Jerusalem, the lepers are healed. We're not told how soon this healing occurred, but we can probably assume that they noticed it pretty quickly. The 9 Jewish lepers continue on their way to Jerusalem, to the temple. The 1 Samaritan leper returned the way he'd come in order to fall at Jesus' feet and give him thanks and praise for the healing. So that begs the question then, where was the correct place for him to go? After all, Jesus did tell them to go to the temple to present themselves before the priest. But where is the true temple? Is it Jerusalem? No. It really is wherever Jesus happens to be is the temple. The temple is the presence of God, God dwelling with his people. And in John chapter 2, Jesus compares himself to the temple, says that he is the true temple. Tear down this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised again. We'll talk about this more during the seasons of Advent and Christmas, how Jesus dwells among his people, how Jesus is incarnate and present with his people. But it's important for us to remember that Jesus is God's presence, and that is the point of God's temple. And so the other men who were healed go to the temple in Jerusalem. The 1 Samaritan returns to the true temple of God's presence, Jesus. The other men went to the rough and crude imitation that was rebuilt by King Herod. The 1 Samaritan went straight to the source, the temple built by God without human hands, Jesus. And then when he returns giving thanks, Jesus looks at him and says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Literally, it says, "Your faith has saved you." Jesus makes a crucial connection here between faith and healing and salvation. That in faith, the Samaritan was healed and returns to give thanks to Jesus. We might say that through faith, which is confirmed by his healing, the Samaritan is saved. It's not to say that if you are saved, God will heal you, or that if you are healed, that means God has saved you. It's not a direct correlation like that. But both do find their origin in God, salvation and healing, and both are received and acknowledged by faith. And the response to both is to give thanks to God. Now, naturally, on the eve before Thanksgiving, it is important for us to talk about giving thanks to God for all of his blessings. There are a few specifics in this reading that I'd like to draw your attention to. First, we notice that with the 10 lepers, the appropriate place to give thanks is God's presence. There are 2 places of God's presence where the healed men can thank him in the reading. There is, of course, the temple in Jerusalem where the 9 go, but there's also his actual presence in Jesus. And so the correct place to be is wherever Jesus is. Now, today we don't have a literal Jesus walking around with us to return our thanks because he ascended into heaven. However, we do have a place where God has promised to meet us, to meet with us, where he specifically promises to hear and answer our prayers. And that place is the church, especially when we have the sacrament of the altar, which is Christ's presence, Christ's true body and blood. We can't fall before Jesus' feet like the Samaritan did, but we kneel before his body and blood at the altar when we receive communion. and we do so in thanksgiving. One name for the sacrament of the altar is Eucharist, which is Greek for thanksgiving. So every week, every year, it is appropriate, it's important for us to gather together here to set aside time to give thanks to God for all of the blessings that he gives to us. We certainly do this on Thanksgiving, but we also do it every other day of the year as we thank him for what he has done for us, whether it be the good things, whether it be in the bad things, whether it simply be for giving us the gift of life. And then also that while other Thanksgiving traditions are fun, they're beneficial, they cannot replace the divine presence. The rituals of healing for the cleansed lepers were important for restoring them to the Jewish community, but these things paled in comparison with the actual work of God in healing them. Dinner with family, an excellent opportunity to give thanks for all of God's blessings in the previous year. Just remember that he is the source of them. Watching the Thanksgiving Day parade certainly is fun. I remember several years back, I think it was in seminary, going to see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade in person with Amy and my family in New York City. It was an experience. You don't go to the parade to see the parade or to watch the parade. You go to the parade. We stood there and we could see the balloons, or we could see everything that was about 10 feet or so above the above ground, but we couldn't see anything else until we went home and watched it on the TV. The crowd was just packed. And so parades and pomp, it's fun, but it can draw our attention towards ourselves and toward our own achievements and accomplishments away from the author of life. Football games will be all over tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. Great way to spend time with family, at least if, like me, you enjoy football. But don't lose focus on the things of God to focus instead on the things of man. And yet, the ultimate reminder is that even when we fail to give thanks to God, his blessings still remain. The nine who obeyed Jesus' instruction and went to the temple, they were not condemned. Remember, Jesus did tell them to do that. They were following Jesus' instruction. And they were still healed, whether they turned back to give thanks to him or continued to the temple. The healing that Jesus worked for them came regardless of whether or not they would return to the source and give thanks to him. And in the same way, God also blesses us in so many ways in spite of our ingratitude and thanklessness. In the explanation of the first article of the Creed, we say that all of this God does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. So does our thankfulness cause God to do anything for us? No. The blessings that we receive come with or without our gratitude and thankfulness and praise. Instead, our thankfulness leads us back to him as the source of all that we are and all that we have. We recognize that he has provided for our physical needs. We remember that he has given us our health. He has given us our family and friends. He has saved us and redeemed us from our sinfulness, and he has given us the faith to receive these gifts thankfully, understanding that all that he does it for us. And when in faith we recognize and give thanks to God for providing for us, we wish to thank him where he has promised to meet him, to return rejoicing along with that cleansed leper, to bow down before his presence and thank him for everything that he has done for us. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.